It's time for you to define your brand. This podcast is designed to arm you with the tools and confidence needed to build a standout brand in today's marketplace. I'm your host, Matt Crane, and I'm honored to be joined by my co-host and CEO of Rush Impact Marketing and Rush Impact Media, Jeremy Warner.
Matt, it's awesome to be here, and I'm excited to share and engage with our audience, listeners, and special guests that will be joining the show. Most importantly, I'm excited to help all of you take charge of your brand. Matt, you know what we say around here, your brand, your responsibility.
This week on Define Your Brand, award-winning dancer, finalist on Fox's TV, So You Think You Can Dance, entrepreneur and social media growth hacker Zach Benson joins host Matt Crane and Jeremy Warner to discuss how he's danced his way from the blacktop to now traveling the world teaching others how to do the very same. Let's all welcome Zach Benson to the Define Your Brand podcast show.
Well, the time has come again for another amazing episode of the Define Your Brand podcast show. My name is Matt Crane, and I got my man Jeremy Warner with me. And this week's guest is really, really exciting.
I'm excited for this one.
My man Zach Benson. You know, Zach, first I want to say thank you for joining us right here on the Define Your Brand podcast. And I really enjoy the content that you share on social media and the journey that you are on currently, especially with your dance and growth hacking across the world. I mean, you traveled a new country, it seems like, every other week. And I really look forward to you sharing more of that here with us today. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Hey, Zach, it's with great honor to have you on the Define Your Brand podcast and the show itself. To see your growth and what you have accomplished as a dancer and an entrepreneur, it truly defines what, when you say, find your fire. Right now, I want to cut real quick because I want our viewers and our audience to be able to see a couple of clips of you dancing because it's truly, truly remarkable.
Wow.
Unbelievable stuff.
That's pretty impressive. I don't know if I could even remotely move like that.
there might be one or two things that I could probably do.
Good stuff, man.
It's amazing. Zach, a huge part of your success has been dancing. This has led to you many opportunities as an entrepreneur. Please share with our audience when you say dance is your freedom and how it has developed your personal brand.
Yeah, well, you know, dance is freedom to me. Being able to listen to music and just express what I'm feeling inside at that moment is such a freeing thing to me. And I feel like, you know, freestyle is just listening and reacting, not really caring about what people think, but just being you. So the way I feel the music is a lot different than you guys feel the music, and so on. But it's just, it's really interesting to me, and it's what I love.
You know, so when you talk about your personal brand, at what point did you realize that dance was more than just a hobby or was more than just something that you kind of felt? At what point did you say, man, this has got to be part of my brand?
Yeah, well, I mean, like growing up, I always thought it would be so cool to like travel the world, fly on a plane and teach in another country. And so, you know, I started when I was 15, and pretty much like once I got into college and took it a little bit more seriously, you know, I started traveling and competing and doing battles and stuff. And I was like, man, like this would be really cool if I could figure out a way to do this full time. And so I think it was like when I was about, you know, in my 20s, like early 20s, when I first started, you know, teaching and actually making some money at it. But then I was just like, man, I can't get enough.
Well, and you know, you recently did a TED Talk where you spoke about finding your fire. And your philosophy in life is to encourage others to reach their potential through the arts and social media. You know, what started your fire and that really led you on this path?
Well, once I started like teaching in other countries and seeing these kids like just their confidence boosting, their self-esteem raising, like it felt good inside. So, after class, I felt like I was on top of the world, all these smiles and everything. And I guess that's when I realized that teaching's my passion. Like, I really love to teach something that somebody think might not be able to get at the first time, but if they keep practicing enough, they'll eventually get it. And that's like that's what dance is for me. So that's when I found my fire, and I was just like, man, I want to keep spreading this everywhere I go.
When obviously, you were on So You Think You Can Dance. You were a finalist for that show. When you started at a young age, when you got into dancing, like what type of music got you to that point? Like, for me, music for me is a big part of my life as well. I've been probably over 200 different concerts of different band members and different types of genre and things like that. So,
Nice.
music for me is an art form, And it doesn't matter if it's rap, rock, country, music speaks to everybody a different way. What type of music, spoke to you that certain way that, you felt the vibe? Was it Michael Jackson? What was it that led you to breaking?
Yeah, I mean, I like listen to the 80s, 90s, some like old school stuff, something that's really funky. I mean, even like James Brown. It's just like all the different instruments and the music, and it's amazing. It just makes me move. I really like that kind of music. Now it's changed a lot. So you see kids like break into dubstep and all these other types of musics. But the original like breakers and stuff, we usually dance to like the old school stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
the biggest thing that you like on dancing side of it is you started with the break dancing part of it, and then do you know other forms of dancing as well?
Yeah, so I started off with break dancing and pretty much did that for, 10, 12 years, and then I auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance, and I auditioned 3 times. So each season I made it a little bit further in the competition, but that show makes you try all different styles. So like ballroom, jazz, contemporary, ballet. I mean, a little bit of everything. So you have to be pretty well-rounded to make it far in the show. And so I never had any experience with that at all. Like I was just straight up break dancer, learned when I was like 15. So it was a little bit more challenging to me than a lot of the other dancers because they've been doing, ballet since they're 3. But the show definitely challenged me in a lot of ways, and I grew a lot from it.
Well, I have 2 daughters. They're both in dance right now, and they do they got hip hop and tumble and ballet, and they're really starting to take form at the age of 5 and 7, especially on the ballet aspect. They're learning and doing the different forms and all that. Was ballet one of the most difficult for you to learn, or was there another type of genre that was more difficult than ballet itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's like ballet is one of the foundations, right? So I took a lot of private lessons and trained with a private ballet teacher, so that helped. So that one-on-one training definitely boosted my level a lot faster. I'd say for me, it was the partner dances. I mean, like doing all of these twists and turns and throws and catches, with my partner was really, really hard for me. I was just something that I wasn't used to. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I want to dive into your story a little bit. Listening to your TEDx talk and your story is remarkable. Your story really hits home with me. We're both Korean, and we've dealt with a lot of the same struggles being an Asian American. Please share with our audience your story, how you were a fish trying to climb a tree.
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty much, like you, I was born in South Korea, and then I was adopted by my parents at the age of like 5 months old. So I pretty much grew up in Iowa, lived there my whole life, went to high school, college there, and then after that started traveling around. And but before all of that stuff, like I really struggled a lot in school. So I mean, just because I looked different, I was growing up in Iowa. I mean, people like said things, called me things like China boy and different names just because I looked different than them and I sounded different too. Like I wasn't able to say the letter R until I was in my 20s. Like, I was diagnosed with a speech impediment. So at about 7 years old, my speech therapist was like, Zach, like, you know, I know you don't like going to these classes, but you got to keep taking them, or otherwise you're never going to speak normally. No one's going to understand you, and you probably won't amount to much. And I was like 7 years old, guys, and I was just like, you know, crushed inside it. But at the same time, I was just happy that I was done with the classes. But it ended up affecting me a lot more than I thought. And I really didn't talk in class, and I didn't have a lot of friends, and which just led to me getting in trouble and getting bad grades and stuff. So yeah, like I was just feeling like a stupid kid that couldn't talk and do normal things and have friends and like normal people. And until I found dance, and that's when I started to kind of change my life. My confidence rose and life just started to get better for me.
You know, one big thing that, you know, I apologize, man, I'm jumping in here and I can just relate with this, but I wanted to bring this up is because it really touches home with me. You know, my dad was in the military. I was born in South Korea. Within that first year, we went from South Korea to Texas, where he was stationed at. And they got a divorce at a very, very, at a very young age for myself. So I moved to my dad's hometown in Indiana, and it was a very, very small town, not diverse whatsoever. You know, farmlands, things like that. So I grew up dealing with some of the same struggles that you're talking about. You know, being called names, you know, Rice-A-Roni, Gook. We dealt with them all. And, you know, now that we're adults and stuff like that, you can kind of laugh at it and really dive deep into it, you know. But going through those experiences, it really defined who I was. You know, learning that and dealing with that adversity at a such young age, it made me a strong individual. It made me the person that I am today because I dealt with that, you know. And it's unfortunate that a lot of our children and a lot of our just younger adults have to deal with that type of situations. But if they can take that and use that to benefit who they are, it's going to make them a lot stronger individual. And it's crazy, you know. You found dance at a early age to get away from that. You know, not to hear that outside noise. For me, it was music. I did the same thing. You know, I'm 6'5", 250 pounds. I'm not moving that much. I mean, I could dance a little bit, but at the same time, you know, we found two different types of art form that allowed us to escape that type of adversity, you know, and it's developed and defined who we are as an individual and developed and defined our personal brand itself. So my apologies. I just want to jump in there.
Well, I think what Zach just said and what you've just said edifies everything that we are here to define your brand. You hear us say this all the time, your brand, your responsibility. You know, Zach first had a responsibility to himself to figure out how am I going to work out of this insecurity, right? I can't change the way that I look. I can't change certain things about me, but what I can do is take the passion that I have, and I have a responsibility to share that with the world. And in reality, it's so ironic because you had insecurities, but you chose one of the most individual and with dance, it's one of those things where you're 50-50. Either people are going to like it or they're not going to like it. You know, there's no middle ground. And so I think that's a very telling thing, especially when I say we say your brand or your responsibility. You know, Zach, before I get into my other question, I definitely wanted to ask you this. When you were kind of developing this TED Talk and when you were creating, you know, that speech, so to speak, what was it? I mean, what was that moment or what was that thing that you really felt like I was a fish trying to climb a tree? And what really, I mean, kind of break that down a little bit further so our audience can better understand what you really mean by that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just said, like, you know, fish can't climb trees. Like, you know, like, I just felt like no matter, like, what I tried to do, like, I couldn't succeed just because I had all these odds stacked up against me. You know, one, just not being able to express myself. Like, I remember times, like, I would just think, like, wish, like, man, if I could say the letter R, then I could do anything in life. Just something simple like that normal people don't even have to worry about, it stressed me out so much that I just never talked. And I always thought that, man, I could do so much more if I was able to speak normally. That, and then also just having more focus in class, like focusing on school, getting better grades, and becoming better at sports. So, I mean, I just never really found like something that I was really good at until I found dance, and that's when like things started to change. So I just felt like, yeah, like no matter what I do, I'm not gonna succeed. So it's a lot of negative times back then.
Well, and I think that, and I appreciate you really breaking that down for us. But I mean, once again, everyone on Facebook Live right now, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Podbean. We're going to be on iHeartRadio and Pandora soon as well. We've got Zach Benson here, break dancer, entrepreneur. He's been on the show, so you think he can dance. I want you to get over to assistagram.us, and I want you to check out what his company is doing as well, because he's a very, very intelligent and very smart growth hacker that helps you grow your Instagram accounts. And it's going to make you do better business, and it's going to also help increase your awareness and your follower, and more importantly, your brand presence. Zach, your story and your content really defines you as a great inspirational teacher and choreographer to the students of all ages. Choreographer, I should say, because I know somebody right now is going to correct me in the comments. So, choreographer. But your passion for dance shines through every aspect. It's in everything you do. I recently saw a video of you break dancing in the middle of the city, and it just goes to show how really passionate you are about it. And on the journey of developing your brand, what are some key things you can share with our audience that has led you to your opportunities, not only as a dancer, but also founding your first company, Assistagram?
Yeah, so basically, like I was like, I want to make this hobby like a full-time thing. So, I started teaching some classes, in the summer. I remember my first ever dance job was like $50 for the whole summer. I taught every single day for an hour, and I was like, dang, like I'm making money doing what I love. Like, this is awesome. But back then it was just, it wasn't a lot. But like, what I learned from that is like, hey, I'm not a lot. Like, not a lot of people know me. So I got to figure out ways to like build my brand, my reputation. And so that's when I started out, competing at different battles and, winning some, and then auditioning for So You Think You Can Dance really helped me, just because it's a really famous show and it's all about, putting the dancer out there first. And I think because of that and, some other, testimonials and references that I got, and nice website and photography, videography, I was able to like just put myself out there. And I think that's one of the important things, is that I wasn't afraid of rejection. I just tossed out crazy numbers, like, hey, I want to teach this class for this much. People are like, you're crazy, you still haven't done anything. Like, maybe if you were on So You Think You Can Dance or like this show, then we could pay that. But and that's when it clicked. I was like, okay, I gotta go do some things. And did So You Think You Can Dance, made it to round four, finalists, not all the way, and started traveling and teaching dance clinics everywhere I go, and been to like 30 different countries. And then transitioning to how I got started up Assistagram was because I was like, when I was traveling, I was learning so much. Seeing how people live and arrange their lives, like seeing their culture, learning about myself, learning from them, and meeting these amazing entrepreneurs, at these amazing hotels that I stayed at. And a couple people were like, man, like you're doing this here, like you should start up a social media agency, because that's how you built your dance brand. And so pretty much I did. I started doing it part time, and my same friend who got me into dancing and gave me that DVD was like, Zach, you need to get in on this Instagram thing, like buy an account. So I bought an account, and already had some money invested in it and was making some passive income from shout outs he was selling on the account. Pretty much made all my money back, not all of it, but then I was like, okay, I'm already in it, I want to keep going. So just kept on learning and learning and reading books and paying for consultations, doing courses and stuff, and then just create and became a part of a community, found my other business partner, and we created a whole social media agency called Assistagram. So that's pretty much how that happened. But,
I love it. And I love your quote. And I think that this speaks volumes to so many people because it's so simple, but yet it's one of the things most people don't do. I've got to go do some things. So many people are sitting around talking about things they're doing, and yet you don't see the consistency in their life. You talk about travel, and you're in a new country now. And you'll probably be in another country next week or the next month. And so, I just think it's just the simple things that people are really missing.
Well, one thing, learning more about you, Zach, and really diving down into your story and obviously having you on the show and asking these questions and really getting to know who you are as an individual, even with all the adversity and all the struggles and everything that you've dealt with through your life, And not being able to say the letter R and having the conflict that you went through at such young age, we all have different forms of expression, either by talking through a mic, playing an instrument, throwing a 50-yard touchdown. Those are all different art forms. And you were able to take all that adversity and actually dive it into in one component that where it drive your passion, which was dancing, and that allowed you to deal with that adversity, but also take dancing and allow that to be the expression from you on how you talk and how you develop and how you share how you feel with the world. And it's really remarkable for myself just to listen to all this, because like I said, I can relate a lot, but by diving down into your story and really, looking at everything and looking at every component, you have that drive, you have that passion of being the best version of yourself. By leading by example and reaching out to millions, obviously through your social media agency and all the things that the great things that you're doing on Instagram, you shared a story that really hits home, and every one of our audience members need to listen to this. You just made the quote, "Don't be afraid of rejection." You also talk about the no's from your first dance video that you sent Nestle, and you're looking for something else, and then they send you products back, and you thought that was really awesome. But hearing no is part of the process. Hearing no is a good thing, you said. The more no's you hear, it will lead you to that one yes and that one opportunity, and that's all you need. Please share with our audience on how you handled all the no's through your life to get to that one yes.
You know, it's something that I just had to get used to. I was like, at first it hurt a little bit, and I took it a little bit personally. But then I was just like, my mentors just said, don't take it personally. Just, it's part of the process. It's part of life. You might fail like 124 times, but 125th, you'll finally stand up and you reach those results and success. But it's also what I learned is the timing. Just because someone says no, it might not be the right timing, just because maybe they got a new job or something happened. You never know. And so even if someone says no now, it's always nice to just be like, okay, cool. Like, let's stay in touch. Let's stay connected. Like, totally understand. And, later down the road, like, what I learned is that if you're patient like that and you're cool like that and don't burn bridges, then that no usually turns to a yes. And then that yes turns into other yeses, because they're like, hey, I might know somebody. You treated me very well at this hard time in my life, so I know that you'll take care of my friends too. And I think that's kind of what I've learned in the process of, hearing so many no's. And it's just like, so what? Who cares? Move on to the next too. Like, not everybody is going to like you, just like you said, Matt. Like, it's like a 50-50 thing. People will be into my dance or maybe not. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to show them who I am and just be me. Like, that's another important thing, is not being afraid to look bad and just be yourself. And, who cares what people think or say?
Well, I truly love that, because I tell my staff this all the time. And it's just a quote that we, when you're dealing with no's all the time in a business that we're at, you know, this is one thing I always say. I say some will, some won't, so what? But at the same time, you have to treat those people like a pro. You don't want to burn bridges. And I love that. You know, integrity and the ethics behind being a professional go a lot longer than, you know, dealing with that situation like, okay, you want to say no, so I'm, you know, it's move on and you know, not have any respect for that individual. Don't, you know, provide value to that individual consistently. You know, and the biggest key component that I love from what you said of that is timing. People have to understand that timing plays a huge part in everything. And if you treat it and you treat everything like a professional and you keep providing value, you keep providing all the services that you would provide to that individual, even if they were a customer or not a customer, one day that individual will be a client of yours. So I love that. Timing is a huge component to the yes factor.
You know, Zach, and to kind of carry over what you were saying, you know, you with growing up with so much adversity and having so many odds stacked against you, you know, what were some things that you did prior to finding a mentor or having that community to fall back on for advice or you know, leadership? You know, what were some things you did to keep it from being personal all the time? Because rejection was something that you'd been dealing with for so long that to me, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it would just seem like it would always be personal. So how did you kind of keep it from being personal, or what were some things you did to kind of recalibrate that mindset?
I just kept on reminding myself that to maintain a beginner's mindset, like I know nothing. So question and learn and like knowing that, like, hey man, I got so many things to learn. Like, I'm just starting out in my dance career and my life and my business. Like, I'm still a baby. So of course it's just going to be a nose for a while, but I just got to stay positive, you know, maintain a positive attitude, because attitude is everything. And I'm a really positive person. So it's hard for me to get too down on myself or, you know, when things don't go my way, it's just usually I bounce right back and just try to be positive. And I think that's kind of like what got me through some of those no's and difficult times. I just kept moving forward. That was it.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because that's one of my biggest struggles. And it's something that Jeremy works with me every single day is, you know, I take things very personally, and it's just something that I continuously work on and get better on. And so I really appreciate that one quote, maintain a beginner's mindset, because if you're constantly in that beginner's mindset, it's hard to take anything personal because you're always going to question everything. And the more you question things, the more you're going to learn. And it really kind of helps probably take the focus off of feeling like it's personal. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, exactly. Because you don't know why sometimes people say no or why they say do what they do. But that's why you have to question in order to learn and then to understand, because it's taking you from not knowing anything to understanding completely and then making that other person feel understood. And when they feel understood, that's when they start to open up and, you know, really tell you like what's going on. But I think a lot of people rub the wrong way because maybe we become defensive or we take things personal or we say something and, you know, maybe it's totally wrong. But that's why it's like better to hop on a call or have a face-to-face conversation and truly listen and make that person feel like you're listening to them. And then I feel like you can find common ground and things, you know, things will be a lot better.
Wow.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not following this gentleman, Zach Benson, Zach, do us a huge favor. Let everybody know where they can follow more of who you are and they can follow your journey, especially online. Where can they go to check more out about you?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, you can just simply follow me on Facebook, you know, Zach Benson, or type in my email. You can even email me, benson.zach@gmail.com. And then my company website is assistagram.us, and Instagram is The Travelers List with two L's.
Perfect. Yeah, we're going to throw those links in the comment section for everybody here on Facebook Live so they can definitely go and check that out. But, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Zach Benson, break dancer, dancing extraordinaire. Zach, you and I are going to have to battle it out someday soon, man. So we're going to have to meet in person so I can show you a little pop and lock, baby. But I really appreciate you spending some time with us here on the Define Your Brand podcast show. And, man, I just am so honored that you took time to share your story.
Yeah, it was truly remarkable. You know, the biggest thing, every episode that we have, every guest that we have, for me, you know, it's all about providing value back to the audience. And what's a key component for me is I want to make sure that our audience and all our listeners, and if it's only just one, you know, they really, really take a lot of value and a lot of information that you just shared with us. Like, every guest is different. Every individual has gone through different experiences. And if we could just take that and just learn from everybody, just think how much of a better individual it'll make you as an individual to learn and grow and actually, you know, take a lot of value on how people went through their struggles and got to the success level they got to. So, you know, maintaining a beginner's mindset, you know, your attitude. Don't be afraid of rejection. You know, you got to have to go through many no's to get to one yes. I mean, just one key component after another is so much value that we can take from it and actually incorporate into our daily actions, and it'll change what we do every single day. So Zach, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much. I know you're in Thailand right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Thailand for about another 3 weeks, then Korea, okay, and then Europe, traveling a lot.
So when are you heading back? Because I was reading some on your Facebook. So you're in Thailand now, and then you're going to be traveling. And I think you said you're going to be coming back to the States here soon, correct?
Yeah, so, well, I have about 3 weeks left here. Then I go to Korea. I'm working on a project out there. And then I'm thinking either San Francisco in October or maybe Europe. Just
I'm jealous.
What happens? Yeah.
You do. Are you big in the K-pop and the karaoke? You do that stuff?
That stuff's really popular, man. I mean, it's, you see it like every street corner. There's, you know, K-pop or karaoke. It's a really big part of Korean culture.
Yeah.
And everywhere. Like, even if I walk the streets of Mexico, like, these Mexican people start speaking to me in Korean just because K-pop is all over the world. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty cool. Yeah. I got to check that out.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Well, Zach, thanks again for being on the show, buddy. And, man, we look forward to another chat and definitely meeting in person.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. It was awesome.